Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue a message I've been sharing on speaking words of victory. And the Word of God tells us that as the adopted children of God, made in the very image of God who created us, who gave life and breath to us, and have been translated us out of the dominion and the control and the authority of Satan by the new birth, that we now boldly can speak words of victory. We can come before the very throne of grace. Think about that. The veil has been rent, beloved. When Jesus died, what were the one of the most outstanding miracles that took place? That very heavy, very thick veil of the temple, it was massive, was torn in two from the top to the bottom. God Himself, or sent an angel, to rend that veil to indicate that now everyone who believed on Jesus, the word Jesus said, it is finished, that we now can come into the Holy of Holies. We can come before the throne of grace. That is an amazing thing. God had types and examples set up under the old covenant, and there was the holiest place of all, the Holy of Holies. The priest, the high priest, could only go once a year, and he better be in spiritually in the correct shape. They had little bells on the bottom of his garment, that if he wasn't, they could pull him out by a rope, because it's a fearful thing to stand in the presence of the living God. God was showing things through the beautiful symbology of the tabernacle, of the temple, that holy place. We were not allowed to go into until that work of Jesus was accomplished on the cross. But now the veil has been rent, beloved. When John and James and Peter were on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw the transfigured Christ. He was talking with Moses and Elijah. His face shone, his garments glistened as the sunlight. They were seeing the unveiled Christ. It was the same Christ that John saw revealed in the book of Revelation, a voice behind him, and he turned to see the voice of he who spoke with him, and he saw Christ, and he fell at his feet as dead. This is the Christ, the unveiled, the veil of his flesh being torn. He is now the risen Lord of glory. And praise God, He came to this earth. He humbled Himself in such amazing ways to take on human flesh, and He relegated all His omnipotence. He didn't lose His divine nature, but He chose to live life as a man, perfectly following the will of God in perfect obedience and without sin. He is our example. What a glorious, glorious salvation we have, beloved. What a magnificent redemption. We love Him because He first loved us. He knew you before the foundation of the earth, and He called you to be alive at such a time like this. And He wants us, beloved, as the church, as a remnant, to start to begin to do as we never have before, because God is giving that anointing. He's given that grace. We are finally growing into maturity where we will have the character to manifest it and move in the gifts of the Spirit, in the power of God. Why haven't we seen a lot of mirror? Well, I think it's because God, you wouldn't entrust serious, powerful, or treasured objects to a child, because they don't have the maturity to know how to handle that that gift, if you will. And so God is waiting for His church to mature, to grow up, and to be able to be in a condition that they can be entrusted with the very riches of God, to move in the power and authority of God, to move in the miraculous. God has that for His people. He has never diminished His power. He has not withdrawn His gifts. He has not done away with fivefold ministry. He's given apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and pastors and evangelists. Why? He's given these various ministries because we need to come into the unity of the faith. Until that time, and we haven't done it yet, but God is, it rejoices my heart to see the work the Spirit of God is doing among His true church. There are many that are falling away. There are many that have slipped into apostasy. Beloved, we need to pray for those leaders, for those churches who have compromised the Word of God, because that's the dividing line. That's the matter on which we agree or disagree. We either believe God meant what He said in the Word, and will stay with it and believe it was anointed by the Holy Spirit and given by the Holy Spirit to holy men of old, or we will reject it and say, well, we need to be more culturally relevant for the times in which we are living. Hogwash. Beloved, we need to take a stand for the things of God, and God is raising up an army of believers that's going to boldly march into Satan's camp and reclaim everything that he has stolen from the body of Christ. Hallelujah. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. God spoke through the prophet Joel in the second chapter, and he said, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closets. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for His land and pity His people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto His people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. That's Joel, the second chapter, verses 16 through 19. What do we see in these verses? Well, it's all inclusive. He's including the young, the old, the leaders, the small, the least among us, those who are greatest. He's calling His people, and those who are in a position of leadership, they need to be weeping between the porch of the altar to say, spare your people, O God. Christians are being vilified as never before. We are made as Paul said, he was the offscouring of the earth as an apostle. Beloved, the church has been held in contempt, and we have done probably quite a number of things to have earned that. Nonetheless, God knows the failings of those who have fallen, but even though man has failed, God never fails. His purity, His character, His virtue, all the wonderful characteristics of our God. He is perfect. As for God, He is perfect in all of His ways. And so, beloved, we need to begin to speak words of victory. Here, what I'm going to read just a little bit more from Joel, because it's such a powerful chapter. Verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. He's even talking to the animals there. For the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for He hath given you the former rain moderately, and He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the vats, this is speaking now of spiritual overflow, and of course naturally too, this is, you know, a prophetic fulfillment for Israel, but the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. What does that reference? The joy of the Lord, wine and oil, symbols of the Holy Spirit. And I will restore to you, Hallelujah. The years the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Praise God. Have you had what you feel years of deprivation? Has the enemy ravaged you in many parts of your life? Well, God is saying he's going to restore the years the locust hath eaten of the cankerworm and the caterpillar. He's going to restore the things that have been stolen from us, the spiritual blessings. We've all gone through difficult times, and God's had a purpose in that. We must understand that there's not one trial, not one battle that comes our way that has not been allowed by God for his purposes. Is it the enemy working? Yes. However, he allows things so that we can learn his ways. If we get a little off track, he knows how to bring us back in, because he's a good father. Just like a good natural father or parent would discipline their children. And we do it for our own pleasure, Paul says, but he does it for our sanctification. We serve a wonderful God. And so we need to begin to speak words of victory. We can loose in the air by our words the victory over many things. We can speak the word done. Remember Jesus, he rebuked the enemy. He said, it is written. And that's what I want to encourage you, beloved, in your prayer time, in your family, in the people you know, say to those mountains of poverty, of sickness, of sinfulness, doubt, fears, all those things that demon forces come against you with, beloved, we need to take authority in the spirit. And you can't carry on a gentlemanly conversation with the devil. You must be submitted to God, resist him, and command him to go in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, my time is again gone quickly, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. But when I invite you to write and share your prayer requests, that's how I pray for you. There is a new dimension I'm feeling in my time of prayer. And just an anger at the things the enemy has done against God's people. So we war for you, Jim and Debbie on staff. We pray together every week for the partners, for the inmates that write, and we invite you. I alone will read the letters and answer your mail. No one else answers the mail but myself. But know that great victories are ahead of you as you stand in faith, as you walk in faith, and you pray in faith. Let me have that privilege. If you have a need, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information, and we still have some available. The little booklet, Which Way Are You Running? By Brother Glass, written in the 80s. I invite you to request that as you write. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.